Morgan County.
Scott Swett, Wasatch County.
Matthew Lloyd, AG's office.
Andy Cho, U.S. Attorney's office.
Craig Fairbush, Attorney, Utah Attorney General's office.
Chad Platt, Salt Lake County.
Tyson Skeen, UPC.
Marilyn Jasperson, Prosecution Counsel.
Bob Church, UPC.
Steve Garcia, Lakeland City. Good to have everybody here.
This is an extra.
Just an item of business before we get going on. I think everybody has one of these nice pieces of paper in front of them, or Tyson could show that. And there's some that are going around that have photos on it. This is for Laura DuPays, just kind of a little memory thank you book. And so if you would, if your mugshot happened to show up on there and you want to personalize it, for whatever sake, or if you just want to write her a note, please do so. She doesn't know about this.
No.
So keep it under wraps. It'll be kind of a fun thing to do. I think most of you know that she elected to hang on long enough just to do one more conference with us. So this will be her grand finale as a little room. Invite her back. If judges get a senior status, we can do the same thing.
We can get her back from Europe.
Oh, okay.
And I would retire just to miss a conference.
I don't think we could have a big Europe. All right, so let's jump right on this. We've got the minutes from last time. Anybody that's had an opportunity to review those, I would entertain a motion with regard to their approval.
I reviewed them, but I wasn't there, but I'll make a motion if that...
I don't think we have that rule.
So okay, I will move that we approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion by Jen, we have a second? Second by Steve Foote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
All right, we will jump right into
a report from Matt.
Okay, thank you very much. So a couple of things from the criminal law section. We're putting together a CLE on June 8th. They try to do one of the professionalism of ethics for the last minute people who are looking to get that credit. So June 8th at the bar, and I'm going to present, and Tegan Troutner, my teammate at the Attorney General's office, are going to present for that. As far as the UPC goes, I talked to the chair of the criminal law section this morning. And one thing she wanted me to bring up was a criminal law journal. Are you all aware about the journal that goes out? It's a joint effort between the criminal law section and the UACDL. And we've been talking in the section about maybe trying to get UPC to participate in that somehow. It seems like more of the criminal defense lawyers are participating in the journal. And so in conjunction with me bringing up the journal, Colleen would like to encourage UPC to get out there. It's a great way to write. You can get published. You can, put articles in. Matt Bates did one not too long ago. But that might be something down the road is seeing if the UPC would like to participate in that journal with us.
Is there anybody here that is not receiving that journal that doesn't get...
Yeah, it's free to the criminal law section.
Okay. So I get one too. Like in the last one, Troy Rawlings, in conjunction with the defense attorney, did a Brady Giglio article. I know that Josh Player's involved in it quite a bit. He's done an article in it.
Yeah, I think he was on the chair or some with the section. Yeah, he was with the section before. Okay. So
The article by Troy, it's pros and cons of legislating Brady Giglio issues. I mean, it's very, very comprehensive, very well written. Actually, it's been posted to UPC's webpage.
Kent Hart, and he's the chair of the UACDL right now. And so that's it. Yeah, encourage people to join the criminal law section. They'll get that journal twice a year for free, and I think it's $25 right now are the dues for the criminal law section. And there's a Miranda, they're soliciting articles about Miranda for an op-ed in the Deseret News, I believe. So I think you sent an email about that.
Are they still looking for?
Yeah, we got something from Sean Toomey at the bar. He's like a media relations at the bar to the criminal law section, saying, you know, we'd love to see something from prosecution. Seems like the defense kind of out more in the journals, out more on there. I'd like to see it more balanced. So if there's anything you'd like me to take back to the section, let me know. Otherwise, we appreciate the support for CLEs. Well, I'm sure we'll, as this position develops, try and work together on it.
Absolutely. Any question on that? Thank you. If you want to be excused, feel free.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Matt.
Yep.
Going to number three on the agenda, council elections. As you'll recall from our last meeting, as often is my tendency, as I'll meet before I look, and we elected Jeff as our vice chair, chair-elect. The only problem is he's not a member of UTC. He just likes to show up and give us grief. No, I'm kidding. No, we appreciate his participation, but and on your in your paperwork, you can see what the different regions are, who their current representative is, and the date that their term expires. Historically, I think that you know that we've basically, the rotation has been large county, small county, city. We rotated it through that three ways, and so, you know, went with Jeff because large county hadn't been it, but again, since he's not a member of that, and so we really don't have what we would generally call large county when we're talking population-wise. Obviously, area-wise, we've got some very large counties that are represented. And so at this time, we would take nominations for the vice chair, chair-elect, from any of the other members. Jan?
I would move that Barry Huntington serve as chair.
Second that.
There's a second on that? All right. Any other nominations? Is there a motion to terminate the nominations?
So moved.
Yes, Sim moves to draft him.
Okay, by acclamation?
By acclamation.
That was an easy one. I didn't go too many times with a bloodbath. All right. This will be your second go round, won't it?
He did the good job.
He did.
And nobody goes unpunished, Barry.
Someone's got to clean up after my mess, so I appreciate that. All right. UPC conferences. It's the Bob and Marilyn show.
I wasn't able to attend the human trafficking. I think Marilyn was there. Gray was probably there. I don't know if between the two of you want to just give a brief report on that. Were you at that human trafficking, Gray?
Yeah, I was one of the presenters. Yeah.
So I mean, by all accounts, it was a great conference.
Yeah.
We learned some good things from it. You know, if Megtree wants to come in. And sponsor the conference, we now know that we need to ask a few more questions just about who can attend, and what the issue was is when we presented by grant, it was limited to the people that he could present to, so we just had some issues there that we learned from. Marilyn did a great job with the registration and the conference, and it was a good success.
Mm-hmm. It was. It's well attended.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
Yeah. Train the trainers. As you'll see in your summary, the 18 students that we, well, actually 17 for the state of Utah, we had 18 attendants that we trained. You'll see the faculty. I appreciate Steve for being our lead faculty. We had two presenters come from out of state who were both excellent presenters but had very different styles, which we became apples to find out that, some connected with one of the presenters, others with the other. Something was really good. We came in well under budget. We had budgeted $27,000 for the course. We only spent $22,000, $16,000 of which will be paid for by the grant that we were able to get from NHTSA. So we did very well in terms of that conference. Let's see. That's the only conferences that we've had since our last council meeting. Do you want to talk about spring?
Spring conference, we have 311 people registered as of this morning. We're down a little bit. In years past, when we met at Southtown, the reason why we moved on to Sherry was because because we were getting up over 350, you know, up to 400. It was mostly attributed to law enforcement attendance. That's gone down, and they're starting to come more to the legislative updates, or they're doing their own training. They're sending some of their appointed people, and they come and they take it back. So it's just kind of slightly going down. We're right there at the line as far as our hotel contract, so I'm not really too worried about it. But we're right there. Registrations are still kind of trickling in, and we'll probably receive maybe $3,000 less in registration fees than we budgeted for. But again, I'm really not worried about it. It's pretty much we bring in as much as we're billed. So I think registration will be good. 310 people is still pretty good.
You expect many register at the door? Does that happen very often?
We have about 10 or 15 that do. So it's kind of an even exchange. About 10 or 15 don't show, and then we get the walk-ins, and so it just kind of evens itself out. So we'll have about 300 people.
Okay. As soon as spring is over, we wait a week, and then we will start into the legislative updates. In your packet, you will see when we are coming to your cities and counties. We're excited. Greg and or one of the staff members is going to be coming with us. I'm going to reach out to each of you county attorneys, city attorneys, to let you know that when we're in your area, what Greg would like to do is we'd like to invite, you know, you and or your staff, or as many of your staff as can come, because Greg's going to have a short presentation on what the Attorney General's office is able to do, going to do.
Yeah, I mean, we interact quite often, so. But when we're in the rural areas, I think it's more important just so that they have an understanding of what resources we can provide, how we can assist, and just kind of continue to renew the relationship and maintain the relationship of both cities and counties and however we can help.
Yeah, I think it'll be a really great opportunity because we've got a captive audience anyway. And I was actually thinking this morning it's probably, you know, we can encourage some of the senior law enforcement to remain because they'd probably be interested
in
that as well.
Yeah, we do meet at the chiefs and sheriffs, but anytime we can meet and talk issues and whatever trainings. I mean, that's important to you as well as us, to make sure that we're providing the training that they need.
So like I said, I'll send each of you an email with the date that will be in your jurisdiction, so hopefully you can put that on your calendar and come out. So the first 90 minutes, I've blocked out 2 hours in each jurisdiction, so the first 90 minutes or so roughly will be the legislative update, and then we'll turn the rest of the time over to Greg and the AG. So that's for the regional trainings.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, just, I mean, my department doesn't go because we do it all internal, but there'll be one in Davis County, so I don't know if there's some information you want to make sure that we get to our officers, or...
Well, it's as much speaking with the officers as if there's prosecutors there, or county attorneys, district attorneys, or line prosecutors. We just kind of want to meet. We want to make sure they know kind of what our services are. We recently have the grant for human trafficking, and that's for UTIP. So in the local areas, if they're interested in participating in UTIP, I think that's an important element that we have a conversation about, so that they can, we've just set up so we can do remote webinars or remote access through Skyping. And then, the other cases that we usually get through conflict and stuff, it's always good just to chat them up.
Yeah, I'll visit with you.
Yeah, and anything, I mean, if there's smaller meetings, we're happy to go to those other meetings as well.
Okay, in May is the CJCDD conference. Marilyn, did you want to mention anything about that? Well, she's looking at the big thing is there are going to be specific domestic violence prosecutor tracks during each breakout session. In the past, it's kind of been hit or miss, for prosecutor specific. But we work with CJC this year, and they have agreed to do that. So when we send out the brochure for that, I'll send out the regular brochure that has everything on it, as well as a brochure that has the specific prosecutor track, so that those prosecutors in the offices that are prosecuting domestic violence cases can increase your intent. What else do you want to know?
In your packet is the flyer for just the prosecution track. You'll see, we just kind of extracted it out of the big agenda, and so we'll have these available for everyone who wants to see what just is the prosecution track that's filtered within the whole agenda. We were able to get Elizabeth Ortiz, she was one of our master training trainers from Arizona, and in Arizona they're doing, it's a pilot program, and jump in, Don, if I miss anything. But she's doing a presentation on the Holocaust.
Which is fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, it's basically Guardians of Freedom, yes. And it's about police officers during the time of World War II, how they were the protectors, and they were kind of against the Nazis, and that progression where they became, as they were actually assisting the Nazis, rounding people up, and they just lost all track of being law enforcement. Want to fill in?
Have you seen it, Don?
No, I haven't seen it.
I was going to say, if I may just, it is, I saw it about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, did you?
And it's a very powerful presentation. And it's actually, the process that they have is really cool because they've actually done it as a part of a sort of a workshop that you take people through to really kind of give you that visual. I got the condensed version of it with the National District Attorneys Association folks. And it really is, because when you go down to the United States Museum, one of the things that was missing was you had all these commentaries on all the different actions, but you saw within those photographs law enforcement. And law enforcement, because this started as a part of a civilian kind of a process,
uh-huh.
And how that process evolved, and what was the role of law enforcement, what was the role of people who were part of the institutions, the legal institutions that were part of that. So I thought it was a fascinating analysis and a presentation of how that erosion occurred, and what it's, so the way they presented is that they take you through actual pictures and actual scenarios, and you discuss it through what is being communicated with the actions that we do or the actions that we do not do. So it's really fascinating and very powerful, and I think it's going to be a really incredible opportunity for us to participate in.
It'll be about an hour and a half presentation that she's doing. They do it for 4 hours.
Yeah.
It's called What You Do Matters, Lessons from the Holocaust. And there's a description in your packet as well about it. But
it conveys the idea that we are the guardians of freedom, what is our role in being the guardians of freedom as prosecutors and cops and people involved in the legal system. How can we make sure that our freedoms are guarded and protected? And so I'm really looking forward to that one. I think that's a really great opportunity for us, because Arizona's the first state that has sort of piloted this, funded by the Holocaust Museum research folks.
They're going around the state, and they've presented before cops, prosecutors, judges, paralegals, and she's also coming for the UPAA, so they'll get it as well.
Which leads into the UPAA.
Which does.
Segway. But Elizabeth is the equivalent of Bob Church in Arizona.
Yeah.
She's the head of their prosecution association. So, and she's an outstanding presenter.
And she's been really gracious. She'll be here in Utah 3 times. So. From trainer to CJC to UPAA, so she'll be here like every 2 months. So hope she doesn't get tired of it. Let's see, Donna was able to bring in some really, really powerful presenters as well from Texas. Getting the Right One, a Serial Abuser, is Convicted of Murder by Stanley Heatley and Jeff Case. It's a really good agenda, so I encourage prosecutors. We'd really like to see the numbers go up. From the feedback that I've been getting concerning domestic violence or any of those kinds of training, you can get at the CJC Symposium Domestic Violence Conference. So we're trying to really promote it that way. as well as give you a prosecution track throughout the entire conference. So.
Yeah, the guys from Texas are very, they're excellent. It's a DA, a prosecutor and his investigator from his office come, and they do a couple, they're doing several presentations. The keynote is about, is a case study on a case that they had where a child was murdered, and the mother of the child originally confessed to the murder falsely because she was so afraid of the her boyfriend would kill her also. So it's how they worked through that, how they handle all those really kind of complicated, tough issues. And it's a really excellent presentation. And then they do two breakout sessions. One of them's on body cams, how body cams can be used in prosecution, and I forget what the other one is. They're doing one more. Anyway, they're really outstanding. And Craig Barlow is going to do his swan song presentation. He's retiring, what, in a year or so. He's going to be one of the presenters. I think it's going to be an excellent conference for prosecutors this year.
We encourage everybody.
Now, obviously, because they're doing the registration fee for that's a little bit more, is it not?
It is.
How much is it, you know?
It's $100.
$100.
No, it's more than that. Is it?
I thought it was like
$24. I just registered today.
Is it $100?
Yeah. Well, my CJC pays for me, so I'm free. If you're part of a CJC, and off of there, they'll spend their grant money to get people in.
I think we talked about.
But the $100 is what it showed up on the website.
Okay.
Well, and so as you didn't know, I knew it was a little bit more, but I'm just hoping that that's not a hurdle for anybody to attend. I mean,
it's no, only, it's not too much more than the UPC.
Plus, this is a full 3 days.
Yeah, it's a full 3 days. It's packed full. 700 in attendance is what we're expecting. UPAA, the agenda is pretty well set. Like I said, we're going to have Elizabeth Ortiz come. We're also kind of stealing Karen Vadino. She was a keynote speaker last year at CJC. We're bringing her in. We're all stressed up and no one to choke. She kind of adds a little bit of humor to her presentations. And so, yeah, we're pretty well set. And we encourage you to send your assistance. We'll be at Park City Marriott. And I'll let Chris report on the rest of the PA.
You don't do it now? Well, I guess we'll come back to it. Okay. OOPA, we met, I guess the committee met. It's going to be DUI focused. We're still bringing in from the TSRP from Colorado. And then just so we're all aware, the OOPA leadership, some bylaws have been drafted. And so we can maybe talk about more about that after the office election.
Yeah.
Basic has been planned. We are incorporating several of our students from Train the Trainer. We're excited about that. We're tweaking the fact pattern just a little bit. Bosses will be sending out requests from you to send any of your prosecutors, so just be looking for that. Fall is pretty much set. It's going to be the Creighton Horton Conference. He has agreed to speak each day. He'll be talking.
Reluctantly?
No, he's quite excited, actually. Everybody in attendance has to buy his book.
I was just plugging his book.
I was going to say, yeah, everybody in attendance has to buy his book. I just finished it Tuesday night. It's fascinating. But the keynote speaker will be the Aurora, Colorado shooter, DA. He will speak first, and then Creighton will speak in the afternoon about mental competency. He speaks Thursday morning. Well, you can say it on the book, but it's going to be the Creighton Horton Conference. He even came up with the name, so that'll be a good conference. Civil, we are meeting in 2 weeks to plan that conference.
Actually, it's Monday.
Week from Monday.
The 25th.
The 25th.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, week from Monday.
Great. Yeah, we expect it on Monday, then I won't stop. the whole spring.
And then we'll have the county district attorneys in November, and so that'll take us through the rest of the year in terms of conferences. So that's it.
Can I just add, speaking of books, there's going to be books available on this Holocaust for each agency. It's going to be made available. We'll send out an email about that. Each agency and CJC or county attorneys. There's only going to be 75 available that we're distributing, but we'll have a link that if you want to get your own copy, they're available on, online on Amazon. So just want to add that.
All right, let's go to the financial report.
Okay, the surcharges, as you'll see in the summary, are consistently down. From this, I haven't gotten March's numbers yet. It usually comes the day after. I'll probably get it tomorrow. But as you can see, we are down between $5,000 and $7,000 for each of the 3 months over the last year. Regardless of that, we're doing well on the budget. We, like I said, between the trainer, we came well under budget and doing well on the other. So I'm not really concerned about the budget. It's just, you know, with surcharges going down and more than likely PIM's income will be significantly reduced in the next year. So that's just something that we'll have to keep track of. And
so what are you thinking is this way? If you were, you're about $20,000 down, plus with the PIMs, what are you thinking? You're going to take a hit, what, 30 grand, 40 grand?
Perhaps. Okay. So unless anybody has any questions, specific questions about the budget, that's just my general report on the budget.
Training committee report. We met last month, and most of the things that you just heard with regard to the conference is for the following conference for the rest of the year. We're firmed up. The training committee is working on a bunch of different issues. We'd like to do some more taking the training around and make sure that, you know, the rural folks that don't always have access to WASAC front conferences. So we're still working on some of those issues. We have yet to come up really with any solid recommendations to bring back to the council as we work through those, but we've got some great ideas that we're working through on that. It's the main thing to bring back to the council are the top choices for the fall 2017 conference. Number one recommendation was Moab. They're supposed to have a new facility mm-hmm. ready by then. Number two was St. George, and number three was Springdale. And so those are the options for the council to decide on, and that is the order of their recommendations. And I don't know if you want to go ahead and take care of that at this time.
For fall conference, if you go to the new facility, it's a Marriott. As we've explained before, the prices of hotels are going up, and state rates are not keeping up with those. Moab is $90, I think. St. George is $80, those are state rates. Right now we have a contract with the Hilton Garden Inn for St. George at $99, that's the lowest they'll go, so I have to jump through another hoop to be able to get that price approved. Prices are up, I mean, they're tripled, $189. Some places at the Fairfield, if you were to call, they're $200 plus more. So if we go to Moab in the fall, it would need to be the last 2 weeks of October, which conflicts with civil. Otherwise, if we want to go to Moab, it would probably be at the Moab Bell Inn. I think their prices are staying stable, but it's just something I want county attorneys to know, that the hotel prices are going up. They're not going down. I mean, it's just going to be the reality. If we want to go to Springdale, it's $189. It doesn't matter. Their peak season is from March 31st to October 31st. And
you pay a premium price.
They're filling space. They really don't need us that bad, but I'm just, so you can build it into your budget if you want to continue to go to the places that we like to go to and that we typically go to. That's the reality. So having said that.
So basically, their position is that because they are busy, they don't care about the state rate at all.
Not necessarily, no, and especially at Marriott, they're pretty tight on